I'll be talking about a group of Hawaiian moths and an apparent rapid speciation event, or the lack thereof. The group that I work on is a Hawaiian group in the genus Omiotes, and this is a crambid genus in the subfamily Spilomelinae. It's a worldwide genus, occurs in the tropics worldwide with about 80 described species. It appears that the genus as a whole is polyphyletic, especially in Australasia, but the Hawaiian species do come out in the same clade as the type species, which is from the Neotropics, so they do appear to be correctly placed in this genus. The Hawaiian group is a radiation of about 23 species from a single colonist, and it seems to be a fairly recent colonization. The larvae are leaf rollers, and there's very low endemism within Hawaii. Most of the species occur on multiple islands, and there are only 5 single island endemics, most of which are now extinct. The genus in Hawaii uses many different host plants, but they all use monocots with the exception of one species, which feeds on Fabaceae. The question I really wanted to look at as part of my dissertation is this rapid speciation hypothesis. And the motivation for this hypothesis is that 5 species have only been reared from Polynesian varieties of banana. And banana is not a native plant in Hawaii. It was introduced by Polynesian colonists about 1,500 years ago, you know, between 12 to 1,500 years ago. So it's been proposed that this was definitely, you know, an example of rapid speciation in the past 1,500 years, because it's assumed that these 5 species descended from a common ancestor that fed on palms, and when banana became available on the islands, some populations started feeding on banana and eventually became reproductively isolated, and over the course of a couple thousand years developed into 5 different species that are morphologically distinct. So I wanted to look at these questions using genetics, and so I came up with at least 4 possible scenarios that could give rise to these 5 species. The first one is the rapid speciation scenario, which I discussed in the previous slide, and this would be indicated by a very low genetic divergence, but recognizable morphological differences. The second would be that maybe these things actually diverged before banana arrived, and then so they diversified onto a native host, a different plant, and then switched to banana when it became available as a host, when the Polynesians brought it. So it has, you know, that scenario, there's a different host, and you would see higher genetic divergence between the taxa. Third, it's possible that the Hawaiians brought the moth with banana. That's been suggested to me at talks before, and this isn't very likely, considering that these species do arise within the Hawaiian radiation, and they haven't been recorded elsewhere. So there's little support for that hypothesis. And then fourthly, maybe banana is a native plant. Banana in Hawaii doesn't produce seeds, so it's unlikely that it could get there on its own. The varieties that we have there are clearly recognizable from other Pacific islands. So it's pretty clear that banana is not a native plant, but that, you know, that would be another possible explanation. So in order to investigate these, I needed fresh material, and I ran into a couple obstacles, the first of it, which is extinction of the moths. So over half of the species in this group have been listed as extinct at various times, and 4 of the 5 banana moths have unfortunately been listed, and there have been no recent collections of these banana moths until the work I'm going to talk about here. The second obstacle is host plant rarity. So there's a lot working against these moths. The Hawaiian varieties of banana are very rare now, restricted to mountainous regions. Of the 50 varieties that have been described of Hawaiian banana, less than half are probably still around, and a lot of those are just from single individuals in botanical gardens. So it was hard to find populations of these Hawaiian cultivars. But that's what I tried to do. I worked with botanists to find stands of wild banana on the different islands, and then light trapped and searched for larvae on the plants at these different locations. And I didn't have very much luck. At most of the locations, I didn't find any larvae whatsoever. At a couple of the locations on Maui and Molokai, I found a few larvae, and those were parasitized, or I wasn't able to rear them to adults. But then at this one location on the Big Island, which is, the location is called Kaiholena, which means the banana. This is a very ancient plantation of Hawaiian bananas, and it's thought to be maybe one of the first plantings that the Hawaiians made when they got to the islands. So when I went there, I did, lo and behold, find damage along the midrib of the banana plants. And then when I cut down the leaves, lo and behold, there were larvae on the banana. So I was really excited, and this was the first time I found over 200 larvae on these plants, and I brought them back to the lab. But the results were rather disappointing. All the larvae collected turned out to be Omiotes blackburni, which is the palm-feeding species, which is thought to be most closely related to the banana-feeding species. So it was morphologically indistinguishable from, Omiotes blackburni, which I should mention is an occasional pest of banana. And all the ones with dots up there are the individuals reared from banana. So they were genetically all just mixed in with the palm feeding ones. So that was pretty disappointing. But then later that year, two individuals turned up in light traps that looked like these banana feeding species. On Maui, there was one, a braided or a rubbed specimen, one of the light traps that I thought, using my imagination, looked like one of the banana species. And then on Kauai, I collected Omiotes musicola, which closely matched the type, and I was pretty certain that that's what it was. So I was able to get DNA from these, so I was able to look at, using a molecular clock, try and get an estimate of when these diverged from each other, or from Omiotes blackburni, for that matter. So I looked at CO1 using a maximum likelihood criterion, and so I produced the tree and palp, then analyzed that in rates using the non-parametric rate smoothing method. And basically, because I don't have any island endemics, it was hard to, I didn't have anything to calibrate the tree internally. So I used a standard rate of divergence from Brouwer 1994 of 2.3% divergence between two taxa per million years, and then estimated the divergence of the banana feeding taxa based on that. And then sort of going about it from the opposite angle, if you assume that these things diverged 2,000 years ago, what would the corresponding substitution rate have to be across the rest of the tree in order to explain that? So this is the tree that I got, and on the, I guess, the far right-hand side are the banana feeding taxa. Oh, okay. And by timing this to, fixing it to 2.3% divergence per million years, that puts the whole tree at about 2.9 million years, the whole Hawaiian group, 2.9 million years, and these ones actually branch off pretty close to the base of the tree at about 2 million years ago. So they're much, much older than rapid speciation hypothesis would indicate. If you were to assume rapid speciation, in order for that to occur, if you fix that node at 2,000 years ago, then over the rest of the tree, the substitution rate has to, it basically would have to be mean 450% divergence per million years, which is nearly 2,000 or 200 times faster than the standard. And although that's just a ballpark figure, I don't know how much you trust molecular clocks, but that's still pretty extreme. So in conclusion, this really sexy story of, rapid speciation doesn't really hold up to the molecular data. And these moths probably diversified onto a native plant, and then when banana became available, they just shifted onto that, and maybe they're still feeding on another native host plant. So it suggests that evolutionary responses of the native fauna to human disturbance might not be as rapid as assumed. So the next question is, what is the native host and where can I find that? So I'd like to thank all these people, and if there are times for, is there time for questions? Or, okay, yeah, one question. Yeah, I could do that. It seems to me, just the fact that it branches off at the base of the tree does seem to me like that indicates like it's completely incompatible with rapid speciation. But there are things like, you know, hybridization that could have happened. If these species arose through hybridization, maybe I would get a tree like that. But yeah, I should look at, I plan to include nuclear markers in the final analyses. But.
Thank you.